The reviews are in, and we're going to tell you what they are. He's Todd Vandenberg, I'm Rob Steele, and we watch movies so you don't have to. And in the case of at least one of these, you may not have to if you've seen the others. I'll get to that in a minute. We're going to start with Todd, though. Uh-huh. You saw a movie that has nothing to do with Scarlett Johansson. Or
it does not.
I didn't think so.
It has nothing to do with Scarlett Johansson, even though it's called Widows.
See?
Key difference there is that there's more than one.
Oh, plural. However,
one of them is black, but not because she wears a black costume. Widows is one of these films that kind of went under the radar. Surprisingly so, as far as the Oscars go, because on the previous show, we were talking about the Oscars a little bit. This is one of those films that really I'm shocked didn't get some love from the Oscars, because there's a lot of great work in this movie. Premise is a clever robbery gang pulls off a job. Liam Neeson is the head guy. They pull off a job. The job goes horribly wrong for them because they all get shot up. They stole $2 million from a local crime boss. This is all in Chicago. And the crime boss needs the money because he's trying to win an election as a local alderman. Not to go straight, but just to get more influence and more power. He wants his money. He goes to the widow, Viola Davis, and says, "You have a month to get me that money." And he doesn't really have to tell her exactly what's going to happen because he knows what's going to happen. As he walks around with her dog in his arms, petting the dog, and then at one point getting ready to choke the dog. And the whole time, you're just terrified that he's just going to snap this dog's neck. Good news, he doesn't. So there you go. Spoiler alert. So the premise is now Viola Davis, who was not involved in her husband's criminal activity at all. She knew what he was, but she wasn't part of it. She's got to figure out how to come up with this money. It turns out that her husband left her plans. Lots of plans. So, oh, here's the plan for the next job. So she gets together a crew to pull off this job. The crew are the widows of the other members of her husband's crew. So that's a little bit outlandish, right? Because she's not in the life, and yet she jumps into the life like that. Yeah, and I'm not talking so much about the fact that she would do this, is the fact that she's so good at it, okay? But allowing for that premise, the movie is awesome. It's a great drama about recovering from the loss that they had. It's interesting to see how they move forward with their lives and what happens to the various widows because their lives are disrupted, not just the emotional disruption, but the financial disruption in every case. And then how they pull together, because none of them knew each other before this. And it's really, really well done how they react to each other, how they interconnect. And then it's a heist movie in the latter part. And that's really well done. Lots of twists and turns. A couple really big twists and turns that maybe you'll see coming, but I didn't. And really, really well done. Viola Davis is Viola Davis, so I'm shocked she wasn't nominated. This movie's from Steve McQueen, did 12 Years a Slave. And the writer...
Not the Great Escape one.
Yeah, not the Great Escape one. And the writer is Gillian Flynn, who wrote Gone Girl. It's as good as you would expect from the creators of those two films. So again, I'm shocked that it didn't get a nomination for screenplay or director, or for that matter, best picture. It's a really, really good drama. It's a really good heist movie. And it has great performances all through. Michelle Rodriguez is another one of the co-stars. It's just a terrific movie that unfortunately just kind of fell by the wayside. This is not one of the movies that we watch so you don't have to. This is a movie that you absolutely need to watch. Is it a happy film? Not really. But you'll be pleased that you've seen the movie. I guarantee you, you'll be happy that you've seen the movie by the time it wraps. Again, to me, it's one of the 10 best movies last year, for sure. And it's a shame that it hasn't gotten the recognition that it deserved. But we're recognizing it, so absolutely. When you get a chance, not during the Oscars, but, you know, before
or even during the Oscars, have it dual screen it.
There you go. The Oscars, well, at this point, you've already seen the Oscars. I forgot because you're listening to this Friday. But
yeah, it's true.
once you see the movie, you'll realize it's like, they screwed up because some of these people should have been up on that stage. Watch Widows.
Yeah. The movie I looked at this week, not going to be Oscar nominated. Although it's done pretty good so far. It's the number 7 grossing film in 2019 so far. Yes, I know. It's still February. and what, a Marvel movie comes out next week. It's going to drop a lot. Not the point. It's a movie that's actually in a much longer series than some people think it is. It's the Dragon Ball Super movie, Broly. Now, I'm not going to go into the movie a whole lot, except to say it was actually really good if you know the series. If you don't start here. Let me explain how this worked. The Dragon Ball series, it's not quite as long as The Simpsons, but it's not that far behind either. It started off with Dragon Ball, went to Dragon Ball Z, then Dragon Ball Super. Between the three of them, there's around 600-something episodes. That's a lot of backstory, because this movie takes place at the end of it. So if you don't know any of it at all, you're going to watch this and go, this doesn't make any sense. You're right, it's not going to where you started. But if you are familiar with the Dragon Ball series, let me give you a little bit of background, because some people haven't realized this yet. Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z did have a number of movies, except those movies could not have taken place in the storyline in the continuum that the storyline goes, because there were contradictions. The movies would usually come out at the end of a season, and if that was where they stopped the series, then it would have worked. Except they didn't. They kept the series going, which means that this plot point and this plot point and this plot point will not work. And you can do that with any of the movies. For example, the second movie. The first movie might have been able to, because it took place between Dragon Ball and Z. But the first, Tree of Might, I think, or something. Something like that. That was the main villain of the movie. Yeah, that's right. It was a tree. No, it wasn't Groot. Well, it might have been Groot. We don't know. The premise of this movie had our characters reach a certain power level, except they reach higher power levels later, and at the level they were at for this movie, some of the characters were dead at the time, which is something you can get away with in Dragon Ball, and I don't object to. I'll get to that in just a second. If the because you can bring characters back in this, but they were left at a certain power level, and by the time those characters came back, they had surpassed that, which would have made the movie entirely moot. So, none of the Dragon Ball movies, or Dragon Ball Z movies, took place in the storyline of the TV series. How bizarre is that? Now, one of the things that took place in these movies was introducing a character named Broly, who I think had at least 3, possibly 4, I don't remember off the top of my head, movies in the Dragon Ball Z series. But like I said, none of them took place, so Broly doesn't exist inside the continuum of the regular show until now. The Dragon Ball Super movie does incorporate Broly into the mainstream of the series, and if you've seen the previous Dragon Ball Z movies, this movie is basically a greatest hits of the Z movies crammed into a new movie with, thankfully, a new origin story for the character of Broly, who is big and badass and can kill a lot of people quite easily unless our good guys show up and defeat him. Duh, that's the premise of most of the Dragon Ball stuff. So is this a necessary movie to see if you've already seen all the Dragon Ball stuff? No, you don't need to, because technically you already have. Look up the new origin of Broly and you're done. However, if you do like the series, chances are you're going to watch it anyway, and you're not going to be disappointed by it. It keeps along with the storyline. Yes, the Dragon Balls are involved, and I'll go ahead and explain the death thing and why it's not doesn't bother me. Because in a lot of the Friday the 13th series, did they ever explain how Jason came back for the next movie? No, not really. But in this, they bring back characters from the dead all the time. And the reason I don't object is, in episode 1 of the 600-something, episode 1, we find out that the Dragon Balls are 7 orbs usually orange in color, have a little red star in the middle, or a number of red stars in the middle. The one-star ball has one star. The four-star ball has four stars. How hard is this? It's not Common Core math. It's hey, I have eyes. That's what it is. You gather the seven balls. They summon the dragon. The dragon grants you a wish, which can include bring fill-in-the-blank back from the dead. That's a loophole you set up in episode one. That's why I don't mind it as much. As opposed to the stuff that, let's say, Marvel does with Jean Grey. With, it's been 5 years. Is she dead? Yeah, she's dead. Well, we've got to bring her back because it's an anniversary issue. How are we doing it this time? Well, let's make something up. No, no, no. Have something pre-established like this, and I won't object anywhere near as much. See, that does that make sense to you? It makes sense to me.
Absolutely makes sense to me. You establish guidelines, and this is how your universe works, and everything follows from that, as opposed to, oh, I forgot that Luke and Leia are brother and sister because they weren't, and they shouldn't have been kissing. Yeah.
Yeah. Unless you're from Kentucky. Anyway, I will attempt to digress after that. So, yeah, the Broly movie, because it takes place in now, using the current form of anime that they've been doing, which is higher quality than when Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z came out, which was mostly in the 90s. The new animation is better. The images are clear. It's done in HD. Come on. It looks beautiful. If you like the Dragon Ball stuff, you're going to love this. If you don't, you're not going to. I mean, that's not a hard concept, I wouldn't think. So, and if you want to get into it, don't start here. Unless you take someone like me with it who's, dude, what's happening now? All right, I need to explain this character and this character and this character. And I should have briefed you before we sat down in the theater. Shut up. I want to watch it too. You're going to end up having something like that. So do I recommend it? Only if you like the Dragon Ball stuff. I can't recommend it if you don't. I'm hoping that makes sense. I told Todd before the show, I'm going to be long-winded about this. But it'll be worth it because it's going to make sense when I'm done, and I hope it did.
It totally makes sense.
Okay, good. I need a drink. So anyway.
As do all of our listeners.
I'm sure you do, and I apologize. I'll do something a little bit more live action and human next week, especially if Todd watches Aquaman. See?
Poke.
Go see the movie. Poke. Anyway, that's it for us. Tune in next week when you'll hear Dr. Bob say, no, that's not right. That's the wrong show. You know what? I'll just end it with this. Get out and go see a movie.
That's pretty much it.